discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square, and finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Born into a prominent Shia Muslim family in Pakistan, Ali had it all. Prestige, security, wealth, and social status. But an unforgettable encounter with Jesus changed everything. When Ali Husnan made the choice to follow Jesus, he went from typical teenager to a terrorist target overnight. The cost is Ali's riveting and remarkable journey of leaving everything behind to follow the one thing he knew to be true. Through excommunication from his community and his family, a near-death experience, a miraculous healing, and a cross-continental chase for his life, Ali's faith sustained him, while also compelling him to bring the gospel to Muslims, no matter the cost. The Cost, Ali's book, just went on sale last week. And Ali Husnain, whose name has been changed for his safety, joins us today from Great Britain. And Ali, it's a real honor to have you here, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to speak on here today.
Well, as we start out, just going back to the beginning of your story, I mean, you were a pretty big deal growing up in Pakistan, right? How did your family name sort of mark you as being among the elites in Pakistan?
I grew up in a very big family. I grew up in a Shia Muslim family. And in Pakistan, people believe that Shia, because of my caste, Shah, we were direct descendant from Muhammad. So that's why we had a great respect. And with my grandfather and my father had hundreds of disciples. Every Friday, we'll go out, we'll pray for people. We'll have hundreds of people lining up outside. You know, so I grew up in a very big, happy, big Muslim family.
And as you mentioned the word happy there, I mean, despite the pain that you detail in the book, you also share some pretty heartwarming scenes of your family as well. What are some of the favorite memories that you carry of your family from your youth?
My favorite memory is that every summer, because it will get very hot in my city, so my parents, my sister, my dad, and my two sisters and my brother would go up in the mountain up north of Pakistan, and we'll go and spend 2 to 3 weeks there for holidays, and we will just have a family time. And that's my favorite memories from back home from Pakistan.
And you were a pretty crazy kid at times, right? I mean, you even at times, you tell the story in your book, enjoyed pranking your neighbors with a specially designed doorbell trick with some tape, I believe.
Yeah, it's just because I grew up, you know, playing on the street with my friends, and so in Pakistan the light would go off in the night. And one day, with some of my friends, I decided, there's no light, we should go and tape people's bell down. So we taped every single person bell on the street, and when the light came, everyone's bells rang at the same time. Everyone come out and they're looking for it. Who did it?
I enjoyed that story very much. Well, as a young person growing up with the Islamic faith all around you, as you described, you're talking about members of your family being celebrated teachers of the Islamic faith. Would you say that your own faith in Islam was a big part of your life? Where were you at as a follower of Islam as you were growing up?
I was a good, strong Muslim. You know, I always wanted to be close to God, and first, I didn't care much, but then when I found out, I belong to a very big family, and then I had to act in certain ways, but I really wanted to be close to God. And my faith was not the best, but it was a good faith. I would never have thought that time that I will become a Christian, I will start following Jesus Christ.
Ali Husnain is a young Pakistani refugee evangelist living in the United Kingdom. From where he joins us today, he's written The Cost, and it's an extraordinary book about his life. And as we speak of Great Britain, it was your first journey to the United Kingdom that led you to this extraordinary discovery of who Jesus was, I believe. What led you there to the UK first off, Ali? And then how did you come there face to face with Christianity?
My great aunt, Gulshan Esther, she she lived in the UK, and suddenly she got very ill, and I decided with my sister to visit her. That's the first time I came to England, and when I arrived in England, I was staying in her house, and there I found out that she's a Christian, and I think that was the life turning point for me. I was very angry. I was saying, why she become a Christian? We come from a so big family. She brought a shame to us. So I think fighting with her, arguing with her, trying to, you know, get her to come back to Islam, that was my first point, asking the question to Allah that who is the true God? Who is the true follower? You know, if you're so powerful, why did you make so many religions? Why there is not only one religion? I think this was my first prayer, just to asking Allah, who is true? Is Muhammad is true or Jesus is true? And that's where I started exploring.
That's an extraordinary thing to grapple with. And what was it for you that really allowed you to come to the belief that Jesus was who he said he was?
So I was praying for a few days, and then I went to a church where Indian pastor said, who wants to see Jesus Christ? Come forward. And I said, I want to see Jesus. So I went forward and I asked him, I want to see Jesus Christ. And he put his hand on me and he prayed. And I fell on the ground. And when I see, there's a bright light comes to me. And I see there, and Jesus Christ standing there said to me, my son, I'm the son of God. If you believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. I'll forgive your sin. You wanted to see me, I'm here. That's where, you know, I had the first ever encounter with God, Jesus Christ.
That is extraordinary. Now, once you gave your life to Christ, you returned to Pakistan. And did you realize how dangerous this decision would be for you? And if so, did you give any thought to basically just staying quiet about the decision that you'd made?
Yeah, I didn't really realize, you know, I came back to Pakistan as a happy, you know, boy. I shared my experience with my family, and I started a normal life. I didn't go to church because, you know, there wasn't any church. I didn't read the Bible because I didn't have a Bible. But every day I prayed to Jesus. Slowly, so there was little good changes. I mean, that I won't ask myself, I won't polish my shoe. I would do it by myself. I'll take my bag. You know, so there were many things were changing. I will treat people nicely. I won't, you know, and I stopped going to the mosque. You know, I told my mom I want to be a humble Muslim. I want to stay at home and pray in a room instead of going out in the mosque. And that's where my mom started noticing. Mom said, there is a change in you. What happened in England?
And at that point then, did you go ahead and tell her the truth about what had happened?
No, I didn't tell her that time. Everyone found out the truth when I got stabbed, and I was in the hospital, and that's where everyone found out why I got stabbed. So the whole city was in the newspapers and everywhere.
It's remarkable. So take us back to the circumstance then of why you were stabbed. Were you stabbed because someone had found out previously that you were a Christian, that you had converted, or was it something else entirely, and then that just led to people discovering who you were now?
It was just very normal. I was outside in the school with my friends, and I grew up with them. We every time we have lunch together when we were in school. So when we were talking about sacrifice animals, different things. And but I just spoke to him. I said, look, we don't need to sacrifice anything. Jesus Christ has he sacrificed himself for us. So after him, we do no need to sacrifice anything. We are forgiven if we believe in him. And they asked me, how did you know? I said, when I was in England, I prayed. And when I prayed, I saw Jesus Christ. And one of my friends, he told his dad. His dad come from a very fundamental group in Pakistan. So I was waiting. And the next day, they come back with quite a few friends. And one of my friends comes to me and says, oh, I want to talk to you. Can you come out? So I went out with him. And everyone, these few boys, they jumped on me and they attacked me. Mm. And then there was one guy, he came to me and he took a knife out and he said to me, because you become a Christian and you try to convert our kids to Christianity, I'm going to stab you and you will die and I will get reward from Allah. I will go to heaven. And he just stabbed me there.
Wow. That's Ali Husnain, a young Pakistani refugee evangelist living in the United Kingdom. He's written a book called The Cost, telling his incredible story. And Ali, now at this point in the story that your faith is out there, your family desperately tries to get you to deny your conversion and say that it was a joke somehow. How did you respond when they began to tell you this?
I was in a room with my mom in a hospital room where my mom said, "You've got to go outside and tell the media that you were joking." And I just said to my mom, "I cannot do that because I was dead. You know, doctor said to you, I have no life. You know, I have 20 minutes left in my life. And Jesus Christ, he came and healed, and now I'm alive because of him. So I cannot do that." So that's how I described. I said to her, "Look, I'm no longer belong here because Jesus, he saved me. So I belong to him. If I deny him, I might die, you know." So because my mom, she loved me, and so she stood up with me. She said, "Okay, it's fine, but you got to leave. You know, you cannot stay with us. You got to leave the city." So that's where I left.
So I think when we hear stories like this about how you're being targeted for violence simply because of what you believe about God, one of the things I think many of us wonder is, why is Christianity perceived as such a threat within Islam?
I think when I became a Christian, my mom and dad, they said to me, I brought a big shame to them, you know. So and also it just believes because that was my family said to me. And I think because in Islam there's a teaching that if anyone leaves Islam and go into a different religion, and you're allowed to kill them. So it's just they're just scared because of the shame of it, that we bring shame to Islam, we bring shame to our own people. That's why they are scared. And Christianity is the message of love, you know, where people want to listen to it. And so when I was growing up in Pakistan, everything comes in the media, like English station channels. My mom used to say to me that, these Christians, you know, don't watch this. I think especially back in my home, in my country, people have wrong idea about Christianity because they have never met a real Christian.
Sure.
Because everything they see on the TV. I think it's more to do with media and things where people in Pakistan who are poor, not very educated, they just see what's happening on the media. They think that's all Christianity.
Sure, understood. Well, the danger you were in only seemed to increase. You had what's called a fatwa issued against you, and of course, as you mentioned, you ended up being physically assaulted. What does a fatwa mean, and how did you end up being a target of terrorist groups?
I already came from a very big family, okay, and so people knew. Everyone knew us, and when I became a Christian, it was in the media, everyone knew. So the group, they decided to chase me. It was one of the very bigger group in Pakistan. I can't name it for security reasons.
Sure.
And so they attacked me first in my school, then at my home. I managed to get away. And the bigger thing was that I come from a very big family. And then I went and became a Christian. I think that was the biggest thing for them, that why, you know, he come from a so big family, so strong family. So like I said, like I brought a big shame to them.
So it was almost as if you weren't bringing shame only to your family, but because your family was so prominent in Pakistan that you were somehow bringing shame to the whole country in a sense?
Yeah, bringing shame to the whole Muslims, you know, and also in Islam, there are they sometimes say that if someone who's left Islam, you is kafir, so he's infidel.
I see. Well, it's an incredible thing to imagine, but. In the book, you detail, and the book is called The Cost. We're here with Ali Husnain, on the road for Faith Radio, and you detail your escape the second time you head to England, this time with the help of your family. And you write very movingly of what you felt that day as you said farewell at the airport. How were you able to make that escape to the UK, and why was it such a bittersweet day for you?
Because I was living in a small forest in this very broken room, and my dad comes and he picks me up in the morning, and he say we are going to England. Or in my head, I'm thinking I'm going with my family. I arrive at the airport. I still remember going through those doors. I didn't have any words to say to my mom, to anyone. I was just so sad that I had to leave my family, and my mom was saying that we will come and visit you there, but I knew they would never come. They just wanted me to leave and be safe. And then I remember the door was closing, and I looked back, and I catch my family, and then the door shuts. And after that, I've never seen my family, you know. And I was 16 then, now I'm 24. So that's why I knew this was going to happen. That was a one-way ticket to England, not a return ticket.
Right. Well, Ali, your life was and is, as you explain in the book, in danger from those who see your conversion to Christianity as an offense against your faith, and yet you want to go back to Pakistan. So I think the question that many would ask you is why?
I want to go back to Pakistan because I want to share what is the love of Jesus Christ, because my people, when I was in Pakistan, my family, they told me to leave. My friends, they were against me. Everyone was like against me. It took everything away. I had to grow up without family. I made many mistakes after becoming Christian, you know, and it is hard. And so God given me this testimony, and he's made me so powerful. And I just want to go back and love the people. I just want to tell them, you hated me, but I still love you. And that's what Bible is all about. That's what Jesus is all about, you know. It's all about love, and love is far more greater than hate. And I think that would be a great testimony to go back there to show them how the real Christian, who's the man look like, what's the real Christianity, what's the real faith is. You know, when I go back and stand in my city and I say, you know, I forgive you, I still love you, I think that would change people's hearts, you know. I want to go there, build a little medical center where I can help the poor people and just to bless the city, you know.
Well, you're a brave man, sir, and we can hear your heart for your people, and we'll be in prayer for you. We'll be thinking about you as you do this. But you spoke a bit earlier about the struggle that you experienced when you were wrestling with the message of Jesus. And from the vantage point of somebody who has had that struggle, particularly from you converting from Islam to Christianity, what do you say when you talk to somebody who's thinking about considering Christianity, who might be a member of another faith?
I would say just trust God and trust your heart and go for it, because the cost is always worth it. And I learned that, and I've experienced that God will never leave you alone. Anyone can disappoint you, you know, but God will never disappoint you. And if you knock, he will open. So if you're going through it, just make the decision and God will guide you through it. It is going to be hard and difficult, but God, the goal will be there. He will carry you through.
You know, in light of your story and of the fact that there are so many Muslims who've come here to the United States and have become significant parts of our communities here in America, how do you think we, as Christians here in the U.S., can start to share our faith with our Muslim neighbors in a winsome and in a non-threatening way?
The way I do it, in my, like, I have many Muslim friends now. What I do, I don't judge them, you know. I give them a real friendship. I give them, you know, the real friend. So what I would say, if you have a neighbor, like your next door neighbor is Muslim, you know, thank God that you don't have to go far to evangelize or speak a Bible. Just go to them, be friends, you know, like you would be your own friends, you know, people with your own kind. You don't have to be a scholar to speak to a Muslim. You just got to be willing to say hi, hello, how are you? So it's just normal conversation and, you know, help out where you can help out and maybe try and understand each other, try and understand, because everyone, they'd be willing to listen. And sometimes it's hard to read a Bible with a Muslim, but we can be a Bible for them through our actions, you know, the way we do things, the way we pray, just letting them know that we are praying for you. I think, and that would be enough. I say to many of my friends all the time, you know, hey, I'll be praying for you tonight, and they come back and they give me a hug. Hey, thank you. No one's ever said us in this for a long time, you know, and especially people who's come from different countries and moved into USA, they are the lonely ones. You know, they need friendship. So I think start with the friendship. That's the best way to go.
Understood. Great advice from Ali, who's 9, here with us on the road on Faith Radio. And just a few more minutes left with Ali. And, you know, you chose to share your story globally with this book, despite the danger that you're already in. And why is this message so important to you? And how do you hope that people will be impacted after reading your story?
Because I think if God can save me, he can save anyone. Mm. You know, I grew up in a Muslim family, never heard of, you know, Christianity, and God changed my life around. And so, it, you know, it's unusual story. There's many things happened in my life, and people tried to kill me. I was dead. God saved me. And, you know, and he wanted. So I think God gave me that story to share, to encourage people, and you know, give power to people to make the decision and come to him. And that's why I always say that God brought me here because he wanted me to come and share the story. And through my book, I want to reach out to the people who probably never heard of Jesus.
Well said, sir.
What he can do.
That's well said. And we've been honored to hear your story today. I want to make sure that I give an opportunity for people to learn more about your book and to get a copy of that book before we say farewell here. And it's available on Amazon.com. You also have a website for the book, which is called the book, once again, The Cost, My Life on a Terrorist Hit List. And you can visit the/cost.squarespace.com to find that book there. And Ali, as we say farewell today, I think the question that many of us, as we hear a story of such bravery and such boldness that you have, is just how can we pray for you, brother? How can we lift you up and continue to communicate with God about what you're doing today?
Yeah, I really want people to pray for me that God will keep me on the right step and make me more humble and kind, so I can reach out more to people. And I really want people to pray for my family, that God will show himself to them as well. And I really want people to pray that God will prepare a way for me to go back into Pakistan. And I hope to go back, you know, by 2019 or 2020. So I really ask people to please pray and remember me in your prayers.
You know, just one last question before we say goodbye. As you join us there from the United Kingdom today, when we watch the news just about every single day, we're seeing stories about how the Christian world and the Islamic world are in conflict. And there are so many people who just want peace. From everything that you've seen, do you have hope that there can be peace, that there can be harmony between our peoples?
Yes, I have a hope, and our God, he listened to prayers, and Christianity is about love, and I think we just need to share that love and pray. And I feel, you know, because it's a bad time, and devil is doing so much in the world, but people like us, like my next door neighbor is Muslim, he don't hate me. You know, he loves me, and I love him back. So I think we just gotta be patient and love each other. You know, try to be different every day, and try to reflect Jesus in our life. And when the people will see that light, you know, they will get attracted to us, and it will change. You know, God is much more powerful than us.
Amen. Amen. Ali, who's 9, has joined us today on the road, and really, Please know it has been an honor to talk with you today, sir. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.